This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 4, IDN's Technical and Operations, held on the 19th of January, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room only. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for a recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll hand it back over to our co-chair, Ruben Skuhl. Please begin.
Thanks, Karen. Good morning, afternoon, evening for everyone. Could you go to the next slide, please?
And this, oh, thank you.
We went already to most of our welcome and opening remarks, so we'll open up for anyone who has statement of interest updates. We'll do so now. Hearing none and seeing no hands, we can move to the next slide, please. Which is our update from the full work group. Jeff Newman is with us. Please, Jeff, go along.
Thanks. Thanks, Ruben. Hopefully everyone can hear me. I know the quality of my sound the other day was not the greatest, so hopefully it's a little bit better. I'll look at the chat, see if anyone issues. From a full working group perspective, many of you have been on other calls, work track calls, so this might be kind of a repeat. But from a full group perspective, our next meeting is not next week, but the following week on Monday, January 30th, I think. Or I might get that date wrong, but it's that Monday, not next week, but the week after. Full group is now creating a couple of drafting teams that we agreed upon at the last meeting. One of those, and the calls for those drafting teams should come out hopefully by the end of the week. Those drafting teams are to talk about categorization or differentiation and coming up with a matrix of qualities that the different categories either share in common or where they differ. And then the second drafting team is on the creation of or further explanation of different models that we could use going forward, whether that's rounds or a hybrid model that we previously discussed. There's also going to be another drafting team created out of a discussion that we had with WorkTrack 2 last week. So we are, as a full working group, working on those drafting teams as each individual work track is working on, we're discussing today in this group, which is coming up with questions for CC2 or Community Comment 2, which, hopefully we will, get out by mid to late February. There's no exact date yet for that, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And, so that's our goal for each of the work tracks and, to kind of finalize schedules and planning for, up into and through ICANN 58. So a number of those subjects we're working on here. Thanks, Rubens.
Thanks, Jeff. Could you move to the next slide, please? And next slide. For this part of the session, could we please share this screen with the Google Docs? Please go on, Steve. Steve, please go on. You have your hand raised. Please go on.
And Steve, it's Terry. If you're speaking, we're unable to hear you.
Hello, can you hear me now?
We certainly can.
Sorry, I guess my headphones were not operational. This is Steve from staff. I was just saying that please give me a moment. I'll pull up the document and initiate my screen share. 1 second, thanks.
If people in the audience could also open the links, it would probably ease up our next activity. What you're seeing here is the full community consultation tool document, which has sections for each of the work tracks. In work track 4, which is where we are, we have already filled up all the different topic areas with questions that were already made for other issues, either to ask just advisors for some opinions on evaluation and collisions. Also some of our consensus calls and discussion teams. So we gathered everything that was already discussed and bundled into questions. If we could move to the work tracking 4 session now, Steve. As you all saw, all the work tracks are still blank, so we are winning. So let's keep us winning ahead of all other work tracks. First topic was about international domain names, and when we have one very specific question about one character IDM TLDs in specific languages and scripts where one single character can mean something. And the other is a very open-ended question for any suggestions that other stakeholder groups, constituencies, and advisory committees could have. Does anyone have any suggestions for other questions on IDNs? Steve, is that an old hand or a new hand?
Thanks, Ruben. This is Steve from staff. It's actually an old hand that I didn't clear, and I'm having trouble doing so while I'm doing screen share. But I did have a comment regarding IDN, so I'll take advantage of my hand still being up. You may want to consider adding something about IDN variants, perhaps. So Sarmad Hussein from ICANN staff is, I believe he's intended to speak on one of the upcoming calls for Work Track 4. And so he'll be able to provide a little more detail regarding the subject, but it might be something that you want to ask about as well. And so that's all I had to say about that. But also, just I'm not going to clear the hand. Just sorry, please ignore it. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. That was actually one of the topics that were discussed in the work track that I failed to bring to the list, so that do this now. What has already been said in the work group mentioned that possibly IDN variant TLDs should be bundled. But since this is a community consultation, we are refraining from showing what the current work track thinking on this and only asking the questions to that. So that's how we got another question. Any other questions that someone might bring up regarding IBMs? Just typing. I don't know if it's regarding this team or not, so I'll move on. I said I'd like to have experience from the launch at IBM TLDs. I think we can do a specific consultation for if IDN registries, not every member of the community about their experience. That's a good suggestion, Jack. I will ask staff to add this as an action item, but I don't believe we should add it into the CC2. I believe it should be a separate consultation with them. Moving on to universal acceptance, we only have one question: is whether we, as a policy development working group, could help in universal acceptance on a policy level, because on a coordination level, the universal acceptance steering group is already working on that, so we don't need to duplicate their efforts. But if there's something policy-wise that we can do, that's this question is all about. So so any suggestions on what other questions could include in which consultation for universal acceptance? Going once, going twice, none on universal acceptance. We then move to application evaluation. The questions here are a mix between what we asked Jazz Advisors and previous team of consensus calls and discussion teams. In summary, they are whether technical capability should be demonstrated beforehand at application time or after you get a TLD, whether technical evaluation should be done per application as it was done in the 2011-12 round, or cluster similar infrastructure of single applicant or similar infrastructure of all applicants, which is also sometimes mentioned as the registry service provider program, very parallel to that. On financial evaluation, we have the same question on whether technical financial capability should be shown before or after. In application time or contract signing time, and whether evaluation should be done vertically or horizontally. Martin is reminding us that the question was phrased wrong, but someone just fixed it while we were talking. So we have a suggestion from Jeff. For the have would apply for the technical evaluation or the financial evaluation? Please go on. Yes, if you could speak more to your suggestion and whether it apply to technical evaluation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for the technical evaluation, and probably for the financial, one of the factors that was not considered in the evaluation, as far as I'm aware, was the number of TLDs applied for, plus now for the ones that they currently run, should those be taken into consideration in the evaluation? So if someone applies for 100 TLDs, is that evaluated differently than someone who applies for 1 TLD or 5 TLDs? And if so, how is that taken into consideration? I'm not sure I know the answer to that, but is that something that we should ask about or how we go about doing it?
Thanks, Jeff. On the technical side, I think there are some other metrics that if you're implying some kind of capacity to handle specific loads, it would be more tied to transaction volumes and to DNS query loads. Those two are usually not that much tied to the number of TLDs. Transaction volume is usually a matter of market success. So if your TLD is eagerly awaited, more registrars will try to register a lot of domains that were possibly pre-registered or requested from clients. And during the life of the TLD, even a TLD with a single domain, like a brand TLD, could possibly an incredible DNS query load if that TLD is a success that accessed by billions of people. So I wonder where we can factor these checklists. There are possible limitations of infrastructures instead of the actual number of TLDs. Let me think about possible text on that, both on technical, and I think that may make sense financially too, and I will propose a text on the list and see if you agree to that or not. Jeff, you want to respond to that?
Sure. That sounds like a good plan to propose text, and I'm just thinking about it in terms of, you know, it plays into, so if someone wants 100 TLDs, it plays into launch schedules, it plays into, like you said, evaluations. In terms of financial evaluation, in terms of business continuity, again, I'm not the expert on this, but as Trang says, the applications were generally reviewed on a standalone basis and may be viewed very differently also depending on the architecture, because I know some registries operate on a, you know, they give out a certain number of connections per TLD as opposed to per registrar or only per registrar, and so there may be a limit in the number of connections one could establish. I don't know. These are all questions that people much more technically minded than myself could respond to. But the general question is, should there be other criteria that's taken into account when one applies for multiple TLDs as opposed to just a one?
Thank you, Jeff. Alan, please.
Thank you very much. If you go back, unwind the thing a little bit and say, we're doing a technical evaluation because we're really trying to answer the question, will this work? And I can't believe that there are not, that one would not analyze it differently knowing that someone is going to be operating 100 TLDs versus one, or TLDs with very small communities versus ones that are hoping to compete with .com. Now, you can't predict the future, but in my mind, there's got to be a different way of looking at it if you know those kind of things and factor it in. So I think the answer is we probably need to look at that, but you know exactly what the metrics are and how do you do it differently, I'm certainly not the expert on. But I can't believe that the same methodology would work as well if we don't factor that kind of thing in. Certainly in terms of minimizing the amount of work we do and predicting the synergies or the whatever an anti-synergy is of things that work against each other. I think it's something we should be considering. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Trang, please.
Yes, hi, this is Trang. Just to chime in here, I know that was one of the things that the evaluation panel, especially the technical evaluation panel, did raise a question to ICANN during the initial evaluation period and in preparation for the initial evaluation work. But I'm trying to find a reference in the applicant guidebook, but I can't quite find it right now. The reason why we went and provided them with the guidance that each application had to be evaluated on a standalone basis was because I think there was a reference in the applicant guidebook that said that was how it needed to be done. And so that was an area that was identified as potentially lacking, that there should be some sort of evaluation that looked at if donors apply for 300 TODs, using the send backend provider, what are the implications of that? Obviously, if one TOD fail, all of them will probably fail if they're using the exact same backend registry provider. So that sort of analysis and evaluation was lacking in this round because we had to evaluate each application on a standalone basis. Also on the financial side, that same kind of line of thought applies. Each application was evaluated on a standalone basis. So the evaluation panel was looking at whether or not the applicant could financially support the specific TOD that was applied for and not necessarily whether or not they could support, 300 TODs, for example. Thanks.
Thank you, Trang. Moving on, we have, as most of the other sections, we had also a session with general questions, very open-ended, possible suggestions for improving the application process. So if you could slide the Google Doc a bit to go to the next session, name collision. At the name collision session, end up repeating the questions we made for Jazz Advisors. Just take one data point out, which was a question about the 2012 round, which they analyzed. So since we are not asking an expert, but the community, we simplify the question to group all possible high-risk TLDs in a single high-risk category. So does anyone have any additions or corrections to the main collision questions? I think some typing regarding other topics, which is somewhat expected since these questions were discussed on this work track for a good number of weeks. So if you could scroll down to the next session, which is the security and stability section, included one question that I mentioned during WorkTrack sessions about the need for a security and stability review that mainly was designed to see whether the rendering of the DNS label would have a security or stability implication. This might not be necessary now that we have label generation rules, but might still be needed. That's why there is a question there. And I added a topic that has been commented some very much regarding security stability, which was the root zone stability review that is now published, and it's public comment period, I think it just ended a few days ago. So I included also a question on this topic. Is there any other topic that someone wants to add to the community consultation? Hearing none, I believe we ended this round of discussion for CC2. But we will continue to list that is at least one outstanding topic that Jeff raised, and we might have more topics that people not on this call, but when they hear it, they might have additional suggestions. So if you could go back to our original slide, continue the session. The next part is this WorkTrack schedule planning. But before we go into what is written in this slide, I have to tell you that is we have to be changed. This proposed schedule was made based on having more time to finish up CC2 that we just started, but we have to finish earlier than what is written there, which is 28th February. So we might have to move along some of these issues and prioritize one instead of other. But the original idea, which is only what I can talk about, was to have our next call focused on IDN and user acceptance, and then our call on 20 February to wrap up CC2 questions and post to the list, which would allow CC2 to be sent at end of the month, which is not what we, which is not the whole time we have allotted to it. We have to finish CC2 sooner, or hope to finish CC2 sooner. Steve, could you walk us through what are currently scheduling needs regarding CC2?
Hi, Rubens. Thanks. This is Steve from staff. So the, according to the work plan and what has been agreed with the other work tracks and leadership is that we would aim to have a set of draft agreed upon CC2 questions from the work tracks around the end of January, which is probably fairly ambitious, but a good target for us to aim for, which would probably mean that some of the work would need to take place on the email list as well, and in addition in the Google Doc that I was sharing and that Rubens referenced. So what that would mean for the, I guess for after that section, is that the questions would still need to be agreed upon in the plenary by the full working group. And so the work plan suggests that the CC2 questions for all the work tracks would then be distributed or published for public comment actually around the middle of February. So those are the targets now, and so as you noted, the dates on here need to be a little bit revised, but that's the agreed upon schedule. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. So the question I have for all work track members is that considering how CC2 is right now after this meeting, considering some days of discussion on the mailing list, does anyone object to finalizing our work track 4 part of CC2 by end of this month? Does someone think that is unachievable? That is, or is it feasible? Are we close to finalize CC2 questions, or do we need more time to work on them? Hearing none, I will see that at least our goal will be, instead of what is written in the lines, to finalize CC2 by the end of this month. So we will try not to be the ones dragging this beyond schedule. Since this the significant change to what was planned, we'll send a new planning afterwards, already reflecting this change. So if we could move on to the next slide. Here we have a collection of the themes we already have discussed for this. Will not be second readings of any of those topics, but I believe there was at least some that have not attended the session when we made those discussions to talk about financial evaluation. So if you could move to two more slides, please. And it was... Yes. So now I'll put Phil Buckingham on the hot seat. If you were wondering if you want to talk about this topic of doing a financial evaluation per application or in aggregation of a possible registry family. Phil, go on. Go ahead. Phil is typing. Let's see if there's some bad news about audio connections of some sort. Phil, are you in front? Is still typing, so if anybody wants to talk about either this specific topic or any other of the two topics which were technical evaluation in tandem or not, and showing technical competence beforehand or afterhand, that would be fine too. Hi, Jeff. Please go along.
Yeah, thanks. And this is semi-related to the first point that's on the slides with the difference of brands. And I guess my question would be, or question asked is there a different way or method of evaluating from a financial perspective brands versus PLDs that are revenue generating? So I think that might actually be a good question, at least for us to consider, if not to ask the community to see if they have input on that. But certainly as a brand, especially one that's multinational brand, they should not be asked about what revenue they're going to generate from the sale of names when that's not in their business plan to do so. Perhaps Trang knows a little bit more from the inside of how those brands were evaluated from a financial perspective and what different criteria were used, if any, and if not, what different financial criteria can or should we use than those that, as Phil said, are revenue generating.
Hi, Jeff. This is Trang. Could I respond?
Go along.
So it's been a really long time, and I would have to go back to and think about this to refresh my memory a bit more. But at a high level, I do recall that the financial panel did recognize at a minimum two types of financial models that they considered, one being a closed model, a closed financial model, meaning it is self-supporting. It's not meant to generate any revenue. And then the other being an open model, where it's meant to generate revenue. And so I think they try to look at applications and separate them into those two categories. And based on that, they looked at the applications differently, and I think it was Q48 or 49, depending on whether it's closed or open. There may have been different thresholds that were applied, but it's been so long, and I would have to sort of go back to refresh my memory. But I think they did try to separate the apps into those two categories.
Thank you, Trang. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff, if I understand you correctly, you are also suggesting that we ask this question in CC2, right? So we need to also address that. Although we are also mentioning brands here, there are other types of registries that could be seen as just a cost center, like registry for a cause, like a community TLD for some kind of cause of public interest that won't be able to be a self-sustainable registry, but either way that community wants to have the TLD to defend that cause, to try to get the public support of that cause. So being a consultant is something that can be either a brand or a type of community TLD, community not in the applicant guidebook sense of community, but in a more generalized way. And even for brand TLDs, I mean that some brands might want to have a self-sustainable registry. So even though it doesn't generate revenue, it doesn't need financial support for the corporation as well. We have now we have a long line. Jeff, please go along.
Yeah, thanks, Rubens, and I think you're right. Distinguishing, there may be a better way to distinguish, and maybe it's as Phil has documented here, where ones are self-sustainable or where it's a cost center versus where it's revenue generating. So we should be careful not to use terms like brands only. But it would be great, and Trang's in the queue, but it would be great to document how those evaluations were different, at least at a high level, and then put that out for comment and say, hey, this is, you know, even though not necessarily anticipated prior to the 2012 round, it was understood that there were different models after receiving the applications, and so the evaluators created this second evaluation model for the cost center registries or for the closed registries. You know, what are your comments on that? What improvements, if any, could be made, et cetera? I think that would be a great subject to put out for comment. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Alan, please.
Thank you. I agree with what Jeff said at the start, that we shouldn't be trying to enumerate the business models. Assuming if revenue generating implies we are charging for domain names, then Google should have gone out of business long ago because they don't charge for searches. You know, Facebook should be out of business because they don't charge for the services they provide. And to use those as an example, you know, conceivably Google or Facebook could have acquired a top-level domain and then given away second-level domains, you know, eating the fees associated with them because their business models is revenue from other places. So we're not in the business of deciding on the business models, but we do have to make sure we're asking flexible questions that allow us to make sure, is this sustainable? Is this going to hurt the Internet by being put in the root? Or is it a service or something that will allow it to continue? Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Trang, please.
Yes, this is Trang. One thing to also consider is what if an applicant applied, with a closed model, say that they don't plan to be revenue generating, but then at a later time after they sign the contract, decides to open up and do charge and collect revenue. Then what happens? So I think it shouldn't be assumed that whatever model the applicant applied with is going to be the business model that they're going to use moving forever. And so what mechanism would we have to then evaluate if the applicant or now registry operator has the financial capability to operate the TOD if they decide that, you know, it's going to open up, what criteria would we use to determine that then? And it's not just about, you know, whether or not they have the funding to do it, because, you know, obviously if they open up and start charging, you would assume that they would be able to sustain themselves. But also if we start to think about, COI, if we are still going to have a COI, what impact that may have, the technical architecture, how do we evaluate that they're going to be able to now have a lot more domain names? So it has broad implication and shouldn't be looked at, narrowly as an issue. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was perhaps the group would like to also consider what is the intent of the financial and technical evaluation to begin with. I think a large part of the evaluation this round, particularly on the financial side, if you look at question 45, which asked for financial statements, was largely a sort of a check the box type of exercise. So is that sort of the intent of the evaluation, or should it be some other evaluation? And we covered a little bit of this in the program implementation review report as well. So is it meant to be sort of a check-the-box type of exercise, or, you know, is there a more overall evaluation assessment type done to determine whether or not, this proposed business model is a sound business model? Because certainly that wasn't the type of evaluation that was done this time around.
Thank you, Trang. I have a comment on that, so I'll add myself to the queue. after Avery. Avery, please.
Thanks. Avery speaking. Yeah, I wanted to bring up two things. One is, one of the models, and just to throw it in, and I think we've pretty much already covered that it goes beyond brands, but one of the models that I had discussed with various membership organizations was the idea that they would include a second level in a yearly membership. And so it's not exactly a different cost center, but, you know, model, but it's also not a specifically pay for domain name model. It becomes a benefit of membership in a particular association. So indeed, there are many different ways of looking at that. The next comment is sort of one that looks at one of the things that Trang just said. I don't know where in the work we're doing, but it's something that we should be looking at, is the whole notion of change of contract, change of feature post contract. I don't think we've really gotten into, and I don't know if any of our subgroups are specifically looking, I don't think so, are specifically looking at what are the change processes. Do the change processes we have now work well for all types of changes that we may be talking about, from financial to community to services provided? So I think that's something we need to stick in our parking lot as one of those issues that may need more attention than we've been giving to it. So I just wanted to thank Trang for sort of, you know, asking that question, because that is. And then the final thing is that, yeah, one of the things we need to do on this one, and this goes with Trang's question about what are we looking for when we do the financial analysis. I'm assuming none of them should be check the box. But indeed giving a better clue to the implementation team of what kind of things are we looking at them needing to investigate, needing to make determinations on, as opposed to just leaving an open question like last time. There needs to be a sound financial model, and those will vary with, you know, but going a little deeper on it. So thanks, Trang, for bringing those two in, and I think those are important things that we need to hit.
Thanks, Aubrey. Now that I'm first in Kiwi, I'd like to comment on what Trang and Aubrey mentioned, that financial evaluation is being done by ICANN as part of its mission to foster the security and stability of the net. So the financial evaluation is looking at whether the registry will fail, not whether the registry will change its business model or not. Sometimes a change of business model can come exactly to make to avoid the registry to fail. So the process that guides what a registry can do after it's been contracted is defined by the consensus policy. So as long as the registry keeps itself between the boundaries of the contract and consensus policy, so they are not hurting anyone, the registry is continuing and it's keeping moving on. If a registry fails financially, that's what we have Ibero for. So those registrants in that TLD are not harmed by the issue, and then ICANN can do a change of assignee, so someone else gets TLD content and keep it running. But I suspect Trang is going to reply to that. Go on, Trang.
Thanks, Rubens. I was going to make the point that the change in business model can actually occur during the application process as well as after they've signed a contract, a registry agreement. And we that caused a lot of difficulties with us. So, for example, you can imagine that it required reevaluation of the application, certainly. But then what if the business model is changed after the objections process has been completed, after, you know, the 60-day application comment period has ended? How would people have an opportunity to then perhaps relook at the application and determine whether or not they want to file an objection? So there are implications for changes throughout the application process as well. And maybe if the rounds were shorter, maybe that wouldn't have been such an issue, but I think it was certainly an issue that we saw in the 2012 rounds. Thanks.
Thanks, Trang. Jeff Newman?
Yeah, thanks, Trang. And I agree that we probably should deal with changes that are asked for during the application process. But I do not think that we should be dealing with changes that are after the contracting phase. That should be, if anything, maybe we as a group recommend that there's be a separate PDP on that, but I don't think we should spend a lot of time delving other than saying, hey, look, if you were granted an exemption in the contract because you were one type of model, then perhaps that exemption shouldn't apply if you change back to a different model. In terms of changing during the application process, I'm hoping that doesn't become as big of an issue as it was because it took 4 or 5 years to get through the process for some applicants. Hopefully, if it takes, you know, a lot less time, there should be less changes to the model. But yes, we should deal with changes during the application process, but put off any changes after the application process, after contracting to a different procedure. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. So much typing in the chat that goes along with that. Trang, is that an old hand or a new hand? Old hand. So having cleared all hands and no other comments, I think we can have an action item to note that a possible PDP to consider that could be warrant, and I think we can move along. So we're going to next slide, please. So you said anyone has any other business want to raise? Let's give people a few seconds to think of any other business or possibly returning to some of the themes we discussed in this session. Terry is reminding us that our next call is scheduled to February 9 at 20 UTC, which depending on our time of day would be possibly another day. Any, I think, just wait a few minutes. If you have 5 minutes left, Trang is still typing, just see if it's something. Trang is just noting that you provide some answers via the email list. Thanks, Trang. So, seeing no other business to talk about, I would like to call the session to a close. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Some of you on the next WorkTrack call, which is coming in a few minutes. See you along. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.